From Studio 22, you're listening to Servcast with your hosts William Lamb and Tyler Shores. Servcast is dedicated to challenging those who have a desire to serve, lead, and make the world a better place through the love of Jesus Christ. And now, here's William and Tyler.
And welcome back. Happy New Year from the Servcast team. I'm here with my friend and your host, William. William, Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year, man. We are quite a few days into the new year already, right?
Yeah, well, this is the first time I've been back, but you've come back already, so what... Like, tell us a little bit about your side gig, but the cool things that you're doing now.
Yeah, some of you guys kind of called it William Gone Rogue. Not sure what that means other than I just kind of do my own little podcast in addition to what we're doing with you. It's still part of a Servcast production, but it's designed for about, 3 to 6 minutes, tell a story, illustration, give a challenge. Something short and brief like that. We'll drop them in periodically.
Yeah, it's all William, unedited, unfiltered. It's raw. It's the good stuff. So you want to check in the first one, actually, you kind of talked about dealing with the rhythm, moving from a break to where you're, at home, and you kind of painted that picture for us, like by the fire with like family and like having to come back to work or school or whatever it is, and kind of just challenged us with that.
So. Yeah, and that's the intent of it, Tyler, is to just, these podcasts are very relational, and we want you to kind of feel like you're sitting with us in Studio 22 when we're talking, and it was designed that way, just to say, hey, now you're back to real life living, so what's next? What are you doing with it?
So speaking of what's next, do you have any New Year's resolutions? Is that your thing?
No, I'm not much on, I don't make too many New Year's resolutions. I just, I just pick it and do it right then, right?
So. Yeah, just kind of like just go for it. I think, man, I need to be healthier. I think I'm going to start running with you this year.
See, I knew you were going to say that. I was hoping you were going to say that. And I may do a half marathon in February.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's too early for you. Yeah. That's too early for you.
I'm a young man, but I don't know if I have the knees for that. So.
We'll come back and talk about that later and bring our friend Matt Ryerson probably back on. And we're going to, hit 26 for good, hopefully, this year and talk a little bit about that. But
well, speaking of New Year's, though, there's something that kind of starts we're at a university, so our brains work in semester divides, and then we just have this summer thing that we do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if we kick off each semester here with Deke Day, and we just had that. How did that go?
The very first episode of Servcast was, geared towards Deke Day, and Deke Day is the opening service experience for students at Lee University, where we work every day. And Deke Day is designed to give students an opportunity to be exposed to a very needy group of people in our community. I don't know if needy is the right term, because some of them are very, blessed and very fortunate, but also too often some of our senior care folks might not get the necessary attention that they should be getting at this stage in their life. And so Lee University is committed to helping bridge that gap with this event we call Deke Day.
Yeah, so Deke Day, we talked about in the first episode, called Doctors, Doers, and Deke Day. And that kind of talks about like the whole, we really talk about the service learning program at Lee University through that in that episode. But one thing we didn't address that I kind of wanted to ask you in this opening segment. I mean, you were there at day one when essentially, for those of you who are not familiar, Deke Day, all of our new students come in, they load up on buses, and they go visit folks in senior care facilities. But the question for you then, William, is why? So, yes, an event that kind of introduces people, gives them a crash course into service learning at Lee University. But why service at senior care facilities?
Yeah, it's kind of like a bookends thing, Tyler. The scripture talks about undefiled religion, James 1:26. Is when you care for the widows and the orphans, basically when you care for those that somehow, sometime can be forgotten or neglected, per se. And, so Deke Day was kind of the idea that we believe there's value in caring for the elderly in the first year experience for students in the very first semester they're going to, or first week they're going to do Deke Day. In the same semester, towards the end of the year, they're going to support this thing we call Operation Christmas Child and serving children as well. So But it's kind of based out of the idea. The whole service learning program is based out of Matthew 25 and 40. You know, as you do it unto the least of these, basically giving something of tangible resource to somebody who is lacking something of value and need. And so the service learning program is kind of poised within that. And Deke Day is framed with the real intention that I think the vitality of the youth connected with the wisdom and the experience of the elderly, just to watch it. I mean, I don't even know I can paint word pictures for it, but just to watch it and experience it is powerful. It's almost, you know, magical in some sense, and just realizing that, hey, we don't define it, we don't work it out, we don't figure it out, we just participate in it. And as God has done so many times, you know, He paints the tapestry of our life, and we get to be part of that. And so that's, Deke Day is designed to give students the opportunity to care for some of the most precious people in our world, and that's the elderly and the seniors in our community.
Which statistics are showing that's a growing population. So in 2014, those who were 65 and older made up about 14.5% of the population, but they project that by 2040, it's going to be 21.7%. So I guess with advances in medical technology, we're seeing that people are living longer. And certainly this is a population that I think is unfortunately often forgotten about. But they, as we've heard from the stories for those who go to Deke Day and those who work at senior care facilities, that that time and time again, like, these people have a lot to offer still. Mm-hmm. And we hear of instances where students have come back and had amazing experiences of growth, and when they were the ones that were going out for a service project.
Exactly. You know, since 2003, when we launched Deke Day, over 12,000 students who have enrolled at Lee and attended Lee University have the same experience we call Deke Day. And that's pretty powerful, man. 12,000 students over the years. And you're right. One of those students, and we'll hear a little bit from her later and about this whole program that she designed, experienced this idea of Deke Day, and she felt like it meant more for her, and she needed to do something else with it.
Yeah, and today, I mean, we have a special treat. We have student leaders from an on-campus service club called Adopt a Grandparent, who this kind of club was born out of a Deke Day-like experience, and they continue this work. We're going to get insight from them coming up next. We're back with ServCast. We have a room full of students. These are leaders from Adopt a Grandparent, one of our student-led service clubs on campus. We have with us today Amanda, Jared, Christy, Chris, and Grayson the tech guy. He's here too, but he's not going to talk right now. Anyways, so we're really happy they're here. We're here going to hear the work they do and hopefully learn quite a bit.
Thank you, Tyler, and we are glad you're with us. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Glad to be here.
We appreciate it.
It's kind of like a choir, right? Just everybody together, just singing. So let me ask you a question. What I'd like for you to do is introduce yourself and everybody answer the question. And the big question is why? You're busy college students, a lot of things on your mind, a lot of requirements, a lot of expectations, but you're very committed to this cause of Adopt a Grandparent. And why are you doing this thing we call senior care and making a difference in the lives of these types of people?
Hey, so I'm Amanda, and my first experience with anything like this was when I came to Lee. I transferred about a year ago, and one of the first things I did when I was on campus was Deke Day. And we all went and spent the afternoon with the elderly, and I just absolutely loved it. I loved being able to hear their stories and listen to their day. It just is incredible to be able to make a difference in somebody else's life. And even though that could be as simple as listening to a story or, you know, letting them tell you about experiences they've had in their life, it's just really incredibly moving, and you leave better. And I think they leave that better too.
Hey, my name is Jared, and I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. Growing up, I was very close to my...
Hold on a minute. I'm getting a celebration over here about North Carolina.
Yeah.
Really, Tyler?
Hey, that's God's country right
there. Let the man talk without celebrating North Carolina. Go ahead, Jared. We're glad we have some North Carolinians in the room with us. So,
Okay, I can keep going.
Yes. Well,
I'm, like I said, from North Carolina, and growing up there, I was very close to my grandparents and to some more elderly relatives of mine. And so naturally, when I came to college, I wanted to be involved in some way with the elderly. And the Adopt-A-Grandparent program is one way that I could go and visit somebody who was like a grandparent to me on a regular basis. And that opportunity to just take time out of my busy week and get away from the stresses of the university was wonderful to me. I got up there, I talked to my adopted grandparent about how my day was going. They could tell me how they were doing. It was just a wonderful experience to connect with somebody from a different generation, somebody that I cared about. I know they cared about me. And I've always had a great time doing that. It's been a wonderful experience.
Great.
I'm Christy. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. And like Jared, I also grew up around the elderly. My grandparents were really close to me. So when I came to Lee, I was excited to find Adopt-A-Grandparent. I felt like it was something I wanted to be a part of. And I think it's so important for students to realize that the elderly population, they're still people, and they still have wisdom to give and advice and stories. And so I love visiting with my adopted grandparents. And I go in thinking that I am blessing him, but he actually teaches me things, asks me about my life, and I gain from that experience.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chris. I'm from Cleveland, Tennessee, so I've grown up around Lee University, but I had no idea that they had a program like Deek Day. So when I first got here, that was, of course, one of the first things I did. And I'd grown up in visiting at nursing homes and senior care facilities, and my grandmother was a nurse, and so she would take me up there all the time, so I was familiar with them. But I wanted to do something more for myself and be involved myself once I got to the university. And I actually heard about Adopt-A-Grandparent from Jared, and he told me all about it and brought me along. And as soon as I was there, my life and my perspective on the world was just immediately changed, because I just never knew the need that existed in every community. It's there. And so when I left, I just knew that I could never live life the same way, knowing that the need was there and that I have a responsibility to meet those needs. And so it just changed my life forever. And I would agree with everyone else's stories that it's not just every time I go thinking I'm going to bless my adopted grandfather, he instills something in me that I take away, and it builds me up while I also build him up. And it's just an incredible experience that I think everyone should have a part in.
So let me get this right now. So you're saying that Jared kind of coached you or invited you to join the team?
Mm-hmm. It was all about somebody reaching out their hand to invite me to do it. It's probably something I never would have even thought to have done myself. But someone just taking the amount of time to invite me to come and tell me about the club and build a community of people that were inspired to do the same mission, which is to bring the hearts of senior citizens and youth together.
Mm-hmm.
Having that community made a huge difference for me getting started.
So let's talk about this whole idea of mission. Jared, you're the most senior member of the group with
Correct.
Us today, and
yes,
you know how it started, when it started, and you know the reason behind it. So give us a little history perspective on Adopt-A-Grandparent.
Absolutely, Dr. Lamb. Adopt-A-Grandparent began, at least the roots of it began, about 5.5 years ago in the fall of 2011. We had a professor on Lee's campus named Pastor Carl Caffrey, and Pastor Carl had a heart for the elderly, and not just the elderly, but for the connection of the generations of the younger and the older. And he gained his vision from Malachi 4:6, which talks about how the Lord will turn the hearts of the elders to their children and the hearts of the children to their elders. And with that vision, he tried to instill in his theology classes the importance of having a connection with the elderly by having them, the members of his classes, go up to a nursing home, which he was affiliated with, and his students would take some time to visit one resident apiece at the nursing home as a part of one of their assignments for his theology class. Now, in the fall of 2011, there was one student by the name of Alexandra Keys, and she goes by Alex. Alex went up to the nursing home to do her project for the class, and when she got up there, she had an instant connection with her, the lady that she was visiting, and she promised that lady that she would come back the next day. And Alex didn't have a car, but she did have some friends who had a car, so gradually she began visiting on a weekly basis, and her friends with her, up to the resident of the nursing home, and her friends started adopting residents up there as well, and quickly this became something that she was devoted to and committed to. But it didn't stop there. When she was in a benevolence class taught by Dr. Lamb, she was inspired to start a service club on Lee's campus, where every Lee student that wanted to could be able to visit a resident on a weekly basis or a regular basis and pray for and encourage their grandparents and their adopted grandparents. And so what she did was she worked with Dr. Lamb and Pastor Carl through all the legalities and all the things that came into play with establishing a club and working in an environment where the HIPAA laws are in effect. And by the fall of 2013, Adopt-A-Grandparent had gone public as an official service club on the campus of Lee University. And since that time, we have expanded to another local senior care facility in the fall of 2015, and we are now reaching upwards of 20 to 30 senior residents a year at these facilities.
Now, Tyler, you're getting this right. These are very busy college students.
Yeah.
That are actually committed to go back more than one time.
Yeah, I mean, regularly, it sounds like. So
if you're listening to ServeCast today, you're kind of trying to figure out if you've got a place to connect. Tune in, because these guys are going to give you more about the mission and the responsibility and ways in which they actually make this happen. Got anything else you want to add to this historical perspective, Jared?
I think that something that has always characterized Adopt-A-Grandparent going forward was, obviously, this is a commitment to visit residents, but it's more than a commitment. This is a friendship that is fostered with people of a different generation. This is, in some ways, a deep set of affection for a grandparent that you have adopted. This is not just something you check off your list. We desire for people to join our club and to grow to love and to know these people, and thus, in the midst of their lives, in the midst of the things they have to do on a weekly basis, even if they're tired, they'll know that they want to go up and communicate with these people. So I think from the very beginning, it can't just be about checking off a list or getting your service credit for the semester. It must be about having a relationship with another human being who happens to be of another generation.
So what's the mission? You guys tune in here and tell me, what is the real mission? Now, we got a historical perspective. We know you're committed. We know you're involved. But what's the real mission and purpose of Adopt-A-Grandparent?
Well, our biblical basis for what we do comes out of Malachi 4:6, and
Jared mentioned,
which is to connect the hearts of the fathers or the elderly to the children, and the youth or the children to the hearts of the elderly. And that's the goal of Adopt-A-Grandparent, is to bring generations together, because that's how God designed community to be. Not just we get along with those who are like us and those who experience the same things we experience, but Christian community is designed to be experienced in diversity. And so learning to connect with those who are not like you, who are different, who have experiences you've never had, that's how you build a much stronger community and building strong relationships with those people. It just changes the way you view the world. And I think the mission of Adopt-A-Grandparent is really that simple, and that's the core of what it goes back to.
Along with that, and having that intergenerational vision as well, we're not just desiring to do it here in Cleveland, Tennessee, where we're located, although that is where we are at. This is a vision that we want to go beyond this town. We're just doing our part here. We believe we're doing our part to reach the residents here and to foster that connection. So that's something that we hope can be reached other places. However, we're striving to do it here.
So that's kind of how you get to this purpose?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. What other ways are you making this mission a reality? What other ways are you making this goal work?
I think part of the mission behind Adopt-A-Grandparent is relationships. So this is something that consistency is really important. And I joined Adopt-A-Grandparent 3 semesters ago when I met my adopted grandparent, and since then, I visit him consistently because I want to build a relationship with him. Dikte, I think, is a great start-off point for students to have the opportunity to meet residents and recognize the need for their presence in senior care facilities. But adopted grandparent offers something more permanent. When you have a relationship with someone that lives in a senior care facility, I think that helps to teach compassion. I know that's what I've learned. And so I would say those two things, compassion and relationship, are part of the purpose of adopted grandparent.
Good.
And I also believe it takes a strong leadership team to affect the mission that adopted grandparent is seeking to perform. We can say that we want to visit the elderly, but like I said earlier, there's a lot of legalities that go into it. So an organization like this needs structure, it needs leadership, it needs people who believe in it, who are willing to take time to recruit students, to make contact with the representatives at the local nursing homes, to set up orientation sessions in which members go through HIPAA training, in which they take the stick of the TB test every year. I mean, there is a lot that goes into what Adopt a Grandparent does. And so we're blessed to have people that love Adopt a Grandparent and want to see it grow and help make these goals possible. And all this has to happen before a student can even meet a resident. So there's a lot of things that go into it, but I'm glad that we can work this out through Adopt a Grandparent, through what we have in Adopt a Grandparent as an organization.
I would add that I would kind of just agree with what Christy said. You know, Adopt a Grandparent's foundation really is relationships. And that's why college students are able to do it faithfully on top of all the academics and other responsibilities they have. It's really because it's like going to coffee with a friend, a much older friend, but a friend. And we go in there maybe after a hard week, maybe in the middle of a hard week, and we sit and we share stories and we listen, and maybe we hear a joke, maybe we hear it three times in a row. And it's when you leave there, your heart is so full. It doesn't feel like wasted time. It feels like they made a difference in your life, not even that you made a difference in theirs.
So this relationship is reciprocal of sorts.
Absolutely.
So what does it look like? What is one of these? I mean, I know, like, if you're hanging out with your real grandparents, you know, it's a whole different story than this, maybe. But what does it really look like? What is this exchange? Paint a picture for us.
Yeah. For me, the gentleman that I visit, I get there and kind of ask him about his week, what has happened. Has he gone anywhere? A lot of times they'll have different activities that go on that he participates in. Bingo is a favorite. So he'll kind of tell me about his week, but my grandparent asked me about my week too, so I'm able to share with him, I had a hard test yesterday, or my choir's doing this that's coming up. And it's kind of really an exchange, definitely reciprocal relationship, I would say.
Now, Bingo gets pretty competitive, right?
Oh, yeah. So competitive.
Do you ever win, Amanda? Or
never. I actually, you know, when you're at one of these facilities, you are spending time with your grandparent doing whatever they're doing. If it's a craft, you're doing that. If they're sitting in their room watching the Hallmark Channel, you do that. Usually the TV gets turned off because they're much more interested in you. But Bingo is a big deal. And I can remember just one of my favorite memories. I was with my grandparent playing bingo. And I was helping to, you know, distribute the cards, give prizes, help everybody realize what the numbers are. And I was just kind of helping out the staff there. The staff love us coming too. And so we're playing bingo. And this woman said, called Bingo. She said she got it. And so I went over there to check, and she didn't have a line across or up and down. And so I told her, I'm sorry you don't have bingo. We'll try again next time. And she was not happy with this news. The staff.
She wanted the Reese Cup, right? Yes. It's the prize. The Reese Cup's a part of the prize package. So.
It is. Sometimes they get a nickel. They love those nickels. That cracks me up. But the staff came back in, and she tattled on me immediately. She said, this girl said I did not win bingo. And the staff went over there and checked, and she was like, oh, you did win bingo. You got the four corners, which I did not know was a thing. And so she told me, she says, not the staff member, one of the grandparents. She says, if you don't learn the rules, you're not going to be allowed to play with us. We just bursted out laughing. It was so funny. But do not mess with their bingo. They take it very seriously.
So I guess that means, like, the competitive edge it's not going away. So that's good. Something for people to look forward to.
And
like, that would totally be me.
When Lee students visit you in a senior care facility, Tyler,
I will tell on it.
Yeah. We'll make sure you have plenty of Deep Day shirts that you can wear when you get there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Let me ask you guys a question, because it's kind of, you know, arisen a little bit in our conversation. There does seem to be this separation between generations. Mm-hmm. And maybe, do you know why that is there? And why is it necessary that we blend these two worlds together?
I think that one of the ways that we perceive there to be a separation is because sometimes we think, oh, you know, they're so much older than us, they can't relate to the technology in our lives right now, or the things that we're doing in our lives right now. They're so far removed from it that they can't relate. But really, if you think about it, they have been where we have been, maybe not in the same institution of university, but they've been the same age that we have been. They have done a lot of things that we ourselves have experienced. So there really is a greater connection than one might think at the beginning. These people have lived history. And maybe if we listened a little bit more and we thought about their experiences, maybe it would affect the way that we go forward in our life with the things that we have not yet experienced. It might give us some perspective.
I think that our generation as millennials oftentimes thinks selfishly. We care about ourselves, kind of what's going on in our lives. But I think that when we take a step outside of our comfort zone to share a part of our lives with the elderly, to get to know them, that is a way of kind of turning that culture around. It's helping our lives when we are able to look at others and see outside of ourselves and to pour into their lives in an act of selflessness, yes, but we've each shared how we also benefit from that relationship.
I think part of the problem is, as we were mentioning earlier, is the forgotten nature of the older generation. And I would definitely agree with what Christy was saying, is that we naturally are self-centered people, and we, even when we attempt not to do so, we turn inward, and I think we're much better off when we turn outward towards the larger community, to the other, to the different. I don't remember who said this exactly, but there was an author who talked about we're the most, our personhood comes out most in relation to others. So we're only true people who, when we love and care for each other, because that's what we're designed to do. And so, but with the busyness of our lives, there are so many things that get swept under the rug, and I'm guilty of that growing up, of never even knowing that there was a need in my community for a club like Adopt a Grandparent. And I learned something in your class, Dr. Lam, in Gateway, that I need to listen for what people can't tell me. And that's always stuck with me. I've never forgotten that. And as soon as I was there, as soon as I was at the senior care facility when I first started visiting through Adopt a Grandparent, that was my motto. Like, I'm looking, I'm listening, I'm trying to find the things that I need to do that they can't tell me about. And that just revolutionized the way I relate to people. And I think if we approach things that way, especially with intergenerational relationships, it would just change the game. And it's a game that really does need to be changed. It really has gone downhill quickly in our culture. But I think as long as there are people in clubs like Adopt a Grandparent who are committed to the mission, like Jared was talking about, then there's hope that change can occur.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely add to what Chris is saying. There is just so much that the older generation has to offer our generation. we can look at the things that maybe they did really well and learn from that, or look at the things they didn't do so well and learn from that. And part of the way we do that is sitting with them and hearing their stories. There is so much life represented when we go and talk to these people, and it would be a great benefit to our generation to take note of that.
So real quick, what are you learning from this experience of adopt a grandparent? And I know you talked a little bit earlier about the dialogue, and they ask you about your day, and you ask them about your day. But what life lessons have you really taken away with this experience?
One of the most profound things that have happened to me, or stories, I guess, that I can tell, is I was visiting a woman in a senior care facility. I try to just kind of visit around as much as I can and establish solid relationships with a lot of different people. As even adopt a grandparent, we've got a lot of people that are still left that we need to try to contact. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be a hand in that. And I was having a terrible week, and classes were insane. Exams were all on top of me. It was just a very stressful time for me. And I was visiting this woman, and of course I was trying to impact her life. And then she just stopped everything and asked me how I was doing, which I was not expecting. Mm. And she took time to listen, like, not many people have ever listened to me before, and asked how could she help me, how could she pray for me, how could she think about me, and how what could she do to impact my life. And so she taught me in that moment that no matter what your own situation is in life, because many people would look at her and say, well, maybe she doesn't have much to offer any person like me, a college student. But I realized that in the busyness of life, no matter what your situation is, just the taking time to ask another person, how are you, and mean it, not just ask it, because we all ask it, but to mean it and genuinely care and genuinely want to help them. I hadn't seen that much before in my life, and so it set a paradigm that I want to live out in my life.
I would absolutely agree with that. I would say the biggest thing that I've taken away from these experiences is that life goes on. And we see that in their lives. You know, so many times we get caught up in everything we have to do, the exams, the papers, all the extracurricular activities we do. But when you sit with those people, you see the bigger picture of life. They're at the end of their life, and it makes you understand how small problems and issues that you go through on a daily basis really are. One day, a biology class that I'm taking is going to end. One day, my college career will be over. But there's a bigger picture, and what isn't over so quickly is people. And that's why it's so important that we invest in people.
And I think building off of what Amanda just said, we realize when we visit them, there is value to sitting and talking with a person. Mm. We are so obsessed, I think, with our cell phones sometimes and with going from one activity to another activity that I don't think we've learned the art of just taking the time to enjoy the people who are in our presence. I think that's one thing I will always take from this experience, and I hope that I apply it to my other relationships as well.
I think something I've learned is to slow down and just take a moment, like Jared was saying, having a conversation with my grandparent. I've learned to find gratefulness and be thankful for little things. Oftentimes my grandparent will be happy that I brought him a piece of candy, or he'll point out the sunshine outside. And that helps me to see, and like Amanda was saying, put into perspective the things that are going on in my life, and to remember just to slow down and be grateful for the small things.
Good. So let me ask you another question, since I get to ask the questions and I'm liking your answers, and I'm pretty sure that anybody who's listening to Servcast today is anybody who is listening to us today are probably being challenged by what you're saying. So let me ask you another question. How are you different? Hold on a minute. How many semesters, Chris, have you been in Adopt a Grandparent, your first semester?
Since the first, so this will be my fourth.
Fourth?
Semester.
This will be my fourth as well.
Christy?
This is my seventh.
I'm the newbie, second semester.
Second.
That's a lot of experience.
Second That's semester. A lot of experience. You guys, and we have a senior in the room, right?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Oh, two. two seniors.
Graduating Christmas. Soon?
Yes, in May.
So you've already chosen somebody to take your place and adopt a grandparent, right?
I'm looking for one.
Yeah.
So if you're listening...
There you go.
Call the Leonard Center.
So let me ask you this question. How are you different because of your involvement in adopt a grandparent? If you're listening to us, you're getting an intentional pause because all of these guys are looking at each other trying to figure out who's going next. I think the reality is they realize this is a very impacting question. So we'll wait for their answers.
I think that before I went into the nursing homes, I was always close to the elderly before coming to Lee University and before joining Adopt a Grandparent. However, I was close to the elderly who were not in senior care facilities. However, after coming, I think I've realized that my previous perception of people in senior care facilities was not as generous, as purposeful as it should have been, because sometimes we have a tendency to think that people there don't have a purpose. However, after coming, I've realized I cannot judge anybody, no matter how old they are, no matter what disability or issue they're struggling with, just by looking at them. Every person, we believe as Christians, has a purpose. And I think I've realized that more as you go in there. And from the whole conversation that we've had today, we've talked about how much our grandparents have impacted us. And I think you realize that as you sit down with them, you realize these people have purpose. And so I think one thing I'll take is that never to judge a person by anything from the outside, from what they're dealing with. I need to give them the time that they deserve, the time to express their purpose, the time to show me that. And I should not let anything hinder me from that.
One of the major things that I've learned, on top of learning to listen for what people can't tell me and how to really genuinely care about another person and how they're doing, one of the main things that has really impacted my life is my grandparents have always been so open with me about what's going on in their lives. They've always been open and honest. When I ask how they're doing, they want to respond in a truthful manner. And if something is bothering them, it gives me the opportunity to come alongside them and shoulder the burden also. And it's just forced me to realize that, you know, though we put on our happy faces as much as we possibly can, people naturally don't like to show someone else that they're hurting. But it's just made me realize and appreciate that there are a lot of hurting people in the world who are in need of my helping hand, and that I have the capability by God's grace to make an impact on people that's so much bigger than I ever imagined. I didn't know that something as simple as visiting a person could change their life or could change mine. And it's made me appreciate the fact that though the troubles of the world seem overwhelming and insurmountable, I really can make an impact and a real substantial difference in somebody's life. And it's a ripple effect. And every difference I make, I hope that they'll continue and they'll make a difference. And that we can be world changers with very simple things if we're just willing to be tenacious about it and get started and get to work.
I think I've learned from Adopt a Grandparent that it's important to reach out to those around you. Even if I've had a busy week, it's important that I still go and visit my grandparent. I've also gained a better sense of humor. Sometimes I take myself too seriously, but my adopted grandparent is very funny and is able to laugh at himself in different situations. I think I've become a more compassionate person. Like I mentioned earlier, going into a senior care facility and spending time with these individuals, I think, gives a person a better heart of compassion. Even as they're reaching out, I think that compassion is growing in them.
I would say for me, being a ministry student, my days of visiting senior care facilities are not going to end with college. Mm-hmm. I'll do that for the rest of my life, and I think the way it's changed me is I have a different perspective on it, and I now know how important it is to be intentional and purposeful with people in the later stages of life and to take time to sit and hear from them now that they're in their golden years. I think it's easy to give attention to the squeaky wheel. And people who are in the later stages of life so many times are willing to, well, your life's busy. You know, they don't ask and beg for attention. But there's so much value in that. And I think it's just really changed my perspective. And if I didn't appreciate them before, I definitely do now.
Tyler, I think we need to take a break real quick, and we'll come back shortly with some personal stories. These are not just people that we're talking about. They're people with names and families and faces, and you know them well. And I think we need to hear a little bit more about the interaction you have with them and a personal story or two. So we'll be right back.
Stick around.
Back with Servcast, joined by these leaders from Adopt a Grandparent, these student leaders from Adopt a Grandparent. And one thing we should probably mention, like, we're not trying to portray the fact that these people that they're visiting are not well cared for. And in fact, there are many people in their lives who are doing some incredible work to ensure that they have good lives. And our students here are just coming alongside of them to bring support, to bring some more relationship, and to just be a part of that. Of that process. And we've even heard stories today about how kind of the reciprocal nature of the relationships that they have cultivated. Now, Amanda talked about how in her vocation afterwards, she will continue to visit senior care facilities and to continue to work with multiple generations. But for the rest of you, what happens when you leave Lee and you're not going through Adopt a Grandparent anymore? What has changed? How has that trajectory perhaps changed because of your time in Adopt a Grandparent?
I would say I'll still be involved in some way. Looking for jobs, I've considered working at a senior care facility, using my major to do something in that. If not that, I plan to, wherever I'm at, figure out a way that I can serve the elderly in that area. Someday, if I have a family, I'd love for my kids to kind of grow up in an environment where they are thinking of others and they're learning from a different generation. So I would say it will be something that will stay with me for the rest of my life.
I think for me, I think wherever I go, whatever church I'm a part of, I think I'll always be looking for those elderly members of the community who need a friend, who need somebody in their lives, whether it be my neighbor down the street or whether it be a shut-in in the church. I think that I will either visit that person or I will bring awareness to the situation of what's going on and will help people to know that there is somebody that needs to be visited, there's somebody that needs to be taken care of. And I hope that that's possible wherever I'm at. I hope that I can challenge people and challenge myself to be involved. If there's a local senior care facility that needs help, maybe finding out with my church who can serve that facility, who can provide relationships for the residents there. Maybe they need a church service there or something of that nature.
I hope to always carry the motto with me of listening for what people can't tell me, and I hope it affects my life more than just with senior citizens. I want to always be in that mindset. But as far as senior care facilities, I'm a theology major, so Amanda and myself are in the School of Religion a lot. We have a lot of classes in common, I believe. Eventually, anyway, we will. And so one of my big goals is to pastor a church one day, and I want to do kind of what Pastor Carl has done, which is to instill the love and the desire to have a point of contact with the older generation, to instill something in their lives and to receive from them. I want to make that impact on the next generation after me, and then them on the next after them, so that the mission can be carried forward. I don't want it to end with me. I want it to be passed on. And so I want to instill it in others. And so if that involves being in the biggest fan of things like Adopt a Grandparent, while I myself continue to visit at senior care facilities in my area or wherever I go, I want to do both of those things. I want to stay involved myself and also inspire others and draw attention to those needs that I'm looking for and listening for, even when people can't tell me. I want to help others learn to do that as well.
Good stuff. So, Christy, I understand you have a story that is probably pretty cool for us that would help us better understand this idea of this relational aspect between you and your adopted grandparent.
Yes, I do. Earlier, we brought up the topic of bingo, and I said that that was something my adopted grandparent enjoys doing. So, oftentimes, when I visit weekly, bingo will be going on, so we sit down and we start playing bingo. My grandparent is pretty serious, so he'll do two cards at once. But
wow.
But he's kind, so he will help others at his table if they miss a number, which I think is pretty generous of him, considering his competitive nature. I'm competitive as well, so I play. But even like Amanda said, they have prizes or small tokens, gifts that you can win if you get bingo. And oftentimes, my grandparent will win. He really likes sweet things, so he'll often choose something like you talked about, Dr. Lam, a Reese's or candy bar. But sometimes they have other, I don't know, small things that are for prizes. One time he won, and he chose off the prize cart toothpaste. And I thought, what an interesting choice. Well, come time for me to go, he's like, I want to give you this toothpaste.
No,
and
no
I said,
way.
I said, I cannot take your toothpaste. That was something that you won in bingo. Like, clearly you want the toothpaste because that's what he chose. He's like, no, I really want you to take the toothpaste. And I was like, I can't take the toothpaste. And he's like, you should take the toothpaste because I don't have any teeth.
That is hilarious.
So, yeah, I had some extra toothpaste for a while. That's
awesome. You know, I really am liking that story. And I think the real reason I like that story is because these folks that you choose to spend extra time with, man, they are real, live, breathing human beings who life matters to them. And they also like to joke, like to have fun, and they actually care about you enough to give you a tube of toothpaste. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. That's awesome.
My story may not be quite as entertaining as that one, though I'm pretty sure everyone who is an adoptive grandparent has a bingo story. I don't think you could find anyone who doesn't have a bingo story. But mine comes from a woman I was visiting for a while, just kind of making rounds, visiting with people. And for some reason, I always caught her right at dinner, which was at 3:30 for her. So she always ate so early so she could go to bed. And I would always be, I mean, the food looked so, it was so good. But she just decided she liked to tell me that it wasn't good in hopes that I would bring her things.
Nice.
So, she, no matter, I mean, they had delicious, like, I was jealous that, you know, I'm eating in a cafeteria, which is also good, but at the same time, they've got some five-star quality stuff going on up there. And she would complain in hopes that I would just sneak something in for her. And she was also, second story about this lady I was visiting, she was a beauty queen. So she went the whole nine yards every day. Even if it was just to go down to the dining hall, she had to have her perfect shoes and matching outfit, and her hair had to be done, and all of her makeup. She was just the perfect beauty queen, and I brought my girlfriend Anna there one time, and she just decided that she just had to pass on as much beauty queen information as she possibly could.
Nice.
And that involved, you know, beauty tips and things she could do, and then it was like, oh, you'd look nice with this bracelet, so here, take this one. And, oh, this ring would look great on you, so take this one. So I'm pretty sure we walked out there with, like, an armload of jewelry and clothes and things that she wanted to give away.
That is funny. You know, I think as Tyler mentioned a moment ago, what you guys are doing is so much more, you know, than just a visitation. You're bringing an additional sense of care and compassion and love. And I know that, Amanda, you've got some interaction that you've been able to experience and watch with your adopted grandparent and their family. So talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. As you guys were saying before, it's not that they don't have families, but their families do have lives and jobs and school, you know, for their own. And so a lot of times the families are really so, so faithful to come and visit. And my grandmother has family that visits her faithfully. And it just so happened that one day when I walked in, her family was there. And I wasn't sure what the reaction was going to be. I don't know how I would feel if strangers were hanging around my grandparents. But I walked in, and her family was so happy that I was able to come and visit her on a weekly basis. They thanked me. And just that really encouraged me in the process, knowing that I was doing something that not only made me feel good, not only made my grandparent feel good, but also that her family really encouraged and even more than that, appreciated. I that was a big deal for me.
Now, let's go back to 7 semesters. Mm. Wow, 7 semesters. So, have you had more than one adopted grandparent?
I've actually had a total of about 4 adopted grandparents since I've been in the program. And it's been, they've all had different personalities, so it's been interesting getting to know each and every one of them.
Now, did they trade you off, or time just revealed that?
Well, you'd think that they would have traded me off after a while. Maybe they got tired of me. But they actually, the things you've got to be willing to do if you join Adopt a Grandparent is that you've got to be willing to experience a possibility that your adopted grandparent might pass away. And that's always a challenge for many of the members of Adopt a Grandparent to take in that reality that maybe their adopted grandparent won't be there one day for them. And that actually happened. I've lost 2 adopted grandparents since I've been in the program, and one of those experiences was definitely something I could not have expected happening to me. At one time, when I began in the program, I visited an adopted grandparent who I'm not sure whether I really had the best connection with him. Adopt a Grandparent is one of these clubs where you have to take some time to meet the different residents in the nursing home or whatever senior care facility you're at. You have to know whether you have a connection. It's like making friends. Some people you're going to connect with better than others. And this one person, this one man, I was not sure at first whether he really enjoyed the experience. I wasn't sure whether I enjoyed the experience, but in some sense, I felt a calling to go visit him. There was something in me telling me I need to continue to visit him. And over time, I kind of got to know how to laugh with him. I'd always pull out he had some ads from the newspaper, and we'd talk about whether he'd want to buy this lawnmower or this thing, and he'd grin at it and enjoy looking through it with me, or we'd be watching TV. And I remember one episode of a program we were watching, somebody was shooting these glasses that were lined up, and we just cracked up laughing. He just really enjoyed, I think, somebody being there with him. Even though he wasn't very vocal, he enjoyed a person being there with him, doing those activities with him. So gradually we did build a connection, and I was kind of shocked when I came back one semester, and after a few weeks his health declined, and he went into a local hospital here, and I was obviously not going to let him be up there and not at least go up and visit him. And when I got up there, I started to get to know his family members very well. And it's not something I expected to do. I mean, I thought maybe I'd say hello to a family member, you know, tell them that I was from the Adopt-A-Grandparent program at Lee, but it became more. As I started visiting more and more, I think they looked for me to come. And after he passed away, they actually wanted me to have a part in his funeral service. So at the funeral, I came and I shared my memories that I've just shared with y'all, the funny memories, the laughing, and in some sense, I felt like the family surrounded me and it became, in a way, a part of them as I shared this loss with them. And it's not an experience I would have ever thought about upon joining the club, but it's something that I did experience. And even after the funeral, some friends and I still continue to go with his widow out to dinner once a semester. And that has been an experience that has taught me that Adopt-A-Grandparent, although it is very specifically based at points with adopting a resident of a senior care facility in our case, it goes beyond that. We can still relate to the elderly outside of the facility. We can relate to the family of them. We can still bring hope and bring laughs to a grieving widow. And that's something that I think has changed my perspective, too, on the ministry that we do.
And it is a ministry. It's a ministry on both sides of the street. Mm-hmm. I think, Amanda, earlier when we were talking, I think I heard you mention that one of your adopted grandparents had a bit of a tragic loss of a spouse and some difficulties in her life, but she commented about her faith in God. Can you share just a moment about what she said about her belief in God in the midst of difficult, tragic moments?
Absolutely. This is one of those experiences that I think gives you so much perspective. My adoptive grandparent, as we got to know each other better, it went kind of from small talk, and she began to tell me about our life. And when she did, she said, you know, that she had experienced tragedy. She suddenly lost her husband. She wasn't able to have children. You know, a life that is, you know, sad very much at some points. But what was so encouraging to me is how absolutely optimistic she was and how thankful she was for the life she'd lived, even though she didn't get to hit some of those high points that we so look forward to in our lives. And it just gives you perspective, because at the end of her life, even though she didn't achieve everything she wanted, or even though she had some tragic events happen, she really, really loved the Lord. And she told me one day, she said, God is good. God helps you through those moments. And at the end of life, God is still good.
Well, thanks so much for sharing those stories with us. I mean, that's some really just deep, heartfelt moments you've had, both funny, both serious. But I mean, I think what's amazing about the work that you guys are doing is it's calling and training folks to just be human. And I think that's really fun and really important. So with all that said, how would you encourage or challenge those listening to get involved?
I would challenge you, wherever you are, if you know that there is a lonely elderly neighbor down the street, if you know there are people in your church that don't get a lot of attention or visits from people in the church, I challenge you to reach out to them. Be that active person who gives them a call, who says, do you need anything? Do you want to go out to dinner? You know, do you want me to bring lunch over? Anything. You never know how much that might mean to a person, just reaching out, engaging them. And even knowing about the local senior care facilities around you. I know the ones that we work with, they have volunteers from the community who come in and build relationships themselves. So maybe there's a facility around the corner from you that you just stayed away from because you didn't think you had any kind of connection with them. Maybe this is the time to at least go and try and see what might happen if you go and you strive to build those relationships with people of a different generation.
I would say don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone and build relationships. Sometimes the most beautiful things come out of something that was really uncomfortable. And maybe you can go to the local senior facility by yourself, and maybe that's uncomfortable, but see what positions they have for volunteering and put yourself out there. Don't be afraid. You can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You really can, and you'll be better off as well.
My main advice for all of you who may be listening is don't wait until you think it's the opportune moment to start. Because if you're like me, you've probably had this happen in your life before. With anything that's really worthwhile for the kingdom of God, if you tell yourself, I'll start whenever it's most convenient for me, I really believe that the enemy who's, you know, completely against the work of God, the devil wants to keep you distracted. He wants to keep you busy. There'll never be a good time to start something like Adopt a Grandparent, to go. And all of us college students can probably attest to that. There's really not a good time, an easy time to do it. But man, is it worthwhile if you just push through it, take the steps, and actively seek out work that you can do for the kingdom of God. And if that's whatever that may be, whoever it may be serving, but especially the elderly who may have been forgotten, take the first step, and I think you'll be amazed at the transformational effect it has on your life.
I agree with what's been said, and I think that it can be easy to make excuses to say, I don't have experience, you know, with the elderly, or I don't have a particular skill set. But I would say that it doesn't matter if you're in high school or whatever age you are, you can give yourself. I mean, can you make time, make it a priority to carve time out of your week to, like Jared was saying, visit a neighbor or go to a senior care facility? It's about making that a priority, because you only have to give yourself. like Amanda said, it can be hard to get out of your comfort zone, but it's worth it. It's worth it to sit down and talk with these individuals who have a lot to give. I think also it's important to be consistent. So if you begin by building a relationship, don't stop there. These people have a lot to offer, and I think that over time, you get a better picture of that, and you get to see more of their hearts and learn more of their stories, and it's worth it.
Well, I mean, it sounds like at times it's just as simple as making yourself available to build a relationship. I think, like, we are most human when we can express ourselves in love to others and feel that. And I think the work that you're doing is exactly that. I mean, there's stories where you've given love, there's stories when you've received it. And it sounds like, again, it just make yourself available for that. Thank you so much for sharing your stories, for taking the time to be with us today, and for those encouraging and challenging words to our listeners. We really appreciate it.
Thank you all for having us.
Glad to be here. Yes.
We have a treat coming up next. It's our friend Beecher Hunter. Beecher is the president of Life Care Centers of America and has been around the Lee partnership with elderly care since the launch of Deke Day in 2003, Tyler. So we're pretty excited about a conversation we'll have in a little bit with Beecher.
All right, we'll be back. Thanks so much for joining us for the first part of our conversation on senior care and the cultivation of intergenerational relationship. To hear part two, check out the next episode, which will feature an interview with Beecher Hunter and the wrap-up to this conversation. We hope to see you then.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Servcast. The thoughts and opinions expressed on Servcast are those of William Lamb, Tyler Shores, their guest, and no one else. Until next time, this is Servcast, signing off from Studio 22.